This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Houston, this is the SS Salty Rocket. Are we clear for takeoff?
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we have liftoff.
The following program is a show intended for an adult audience. Our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
You're with
Poor Andrew the Apprentice
on Hide and Seek.
That's right, you are with Andrew the Apprentice on Hide and Seek, and I'm joined tonight by Avi Miller.
Hello.
And tonight we're going from the serious into the absurd.
I don't know. I think this is a serious topic.
It could end up being a very serious topic, actually.
We are recreating every gay nightclub just after midnight. We filled the studio up wall to wall with bottoms.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about what makes a good top.
That's right. Tonight joining us in the studio is Craig.
Hello.
And Andrew.
Good evening.
And of course, Avi and Andrew.
And Avi and Andrew. It's going to get very confusing.
Yes.
I like you putting... Anyway, we'll get onto that maybe later.
No, I think for tonight's performance, we will all self-identify as bottoms. Some of us massively identify as bottoms. You can get rid of Dean Beck, but you can't get rid of the massive fisting bottom from this show. So, you've got another one.
Fair enough.
There you go.
So, we want to have a discussion about what makes a good top. Let us know, 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. There's a variety of opinions out there, and we want to know yours.
First of all, I think we should ask the question, if we get metaphysical for a second, what is a top?
Yes.
Before we ask what a good top is.
Well, we should define what a top
is.
Craig?
What's a top?
The penetrator.
That's very literal, Andrew.
The dominant.
And
so there's two different, very different definitions.
Because... obviously, in our culture, we love subcultures, and we love to shove labels on things that, quite frankly, sometimes don't need a label. But even the label top has so many different meanings, because it could be, as Craig points out, the penetrative partner in an anal sex event, to be very clinical. As Andrew puts it, it could be the dominant partner. It could be...
quite obviously, it's very, circumstantial. I mean, you can have a dominant top, and you can also have a dominant bottom as well.
Yes.
I mean, power bottoms are out there all over the place.
It was Power Bottom Appreciation Day yesterday.
Yes,
I did read that on Facebook.
Yes.
Well, yeah, yesterday was Hump Day. So.
I think a t-shirt range should go out for next year.
Oh yes.
I'd wear one with a hashtag.
Yeah. No, wasn't that One Direction had t-shirts
for power
for
bottoms?
Power bottoms. Yeah.
Really? Wow. Progressive.
Yeah.
Surprising.
So Craig, you went with the penetrative definition.
Yes.
Is domination part of being a top? Or are you happy with a passive top?
I'm not particularly happy with a passive top. I definitely prefer them to be a little bit more dominant and directing. I don't like the ones that just lay there and say, oh, just get on top and you
expect
can
you
do all the stuff.
The work,
and
yes.
I'm just like, well, you know, it's two-way street here. That's not to say that I don't like being on top, but I do expect them to, you know, be attentive as well. Like, I don't think you can be a good top without being attentive and have input into the situation.
And making an effort.
Of course.
So, Andrew, your definition was you went to the dominant side.
Yeah.
Can you have a dominant bottom?
You can. Very similar to the power bottom, you can have a dominant bottom. I know a few very dominant bottoms here and overseas. So, yeah, they do exist. They are about.
And there's, you know, there is that age old wisdom that in order to be a good top, you first have to be a good bottom, and the vice versa. In order to be a good bottom, you first have to be a good top, and in order to be a good sub, you have to be a good dom, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. How valid do you think that actually is?
I actually think that's very valid. To be a good bottom, you know what feels good. Yeah. And you, in order to be a good bottom, you know where the pleasure is coming from and how, and not should, but it's a really, I think it's a really good starting point to know how to give pleasure before you receive pleasure. And vice versa. So to be a good top, you know how pleasure it is to receive. So I think it works both ways. I think it's very relevant.
Do you think somebody could be a good top without ever bottoming?
Yes, I think it might. In terms of experience, it might take longer. If the top is, I think they need to be open to how the bottom is, you know, is feeling. Be very receptive of the bottom's feelings.
Pardon the pun. So,
not emotional feeling. Well, maybe emotional feelings, but how they're feeling physically. Read how they are, and if they're enjoying, if they're not enjoying. If they're getting bored, maybe change your position.
And I think one of the interesting things as well is there's both of you took the definition of top almost exclusively as a fucking top. Essentially, we were discussing, you know, we didn't even sort of look at the other kinks around that have top and bottom style roles.
Well, don't they have their... They kind of have their own nomenclature around it. That kind of deals with those situations, right?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, but I mean, you'd have, you know, fisting tops and bottoms, you have piss tops and bottoms, you have, obviously, once you get into the S&M stuff and the dom sub stuff, you have more interesting names for, you know, slave and master, and you have daddies and boys, and I wonder, you know, we have a continuum of experience, I suppose, in those sorts of areas. But where do you think the top fits in? Is that a generic catch-all term? Or do you think it actually refers to almost a specific style of lover, for want of a better word?
I think it's a catch-all term. I don't think, when you asked us what a top was before, I don't think there's one good catch-all definition. It covers such a broad spectrum of everything. So I don't think,
I think it's definitely circumstantial, I think, yeah.
Circumstantial in what way?
Well, I guess it depends on the kind of sex that you're having. I mean, like Avi said, you know, you have piss tops and you have fisting tops and you have, especially around BDSM, there's a lot of different ways that things can happen, especially when you have power bottoms and, you know, the bottom can be the person who ties the top up and things like that, and it gets a little bit vague, but, you know, I think...
I've seen, you know, as a aficionado of all things online and sites like that sort of thing, there seems to be a big resurgence in the versatile these days. Certainly, if you look from sort of 10 years ago, 15, 20, when I started this little shindig, 25. people seem to be very, very much I am a top and I want good bottoms, and I am a bottom and I want hard tops, to quote one of the people who texted in on 0427JOY949, that a good top is hard to find.
Especially in Melbourne.
Yeah. Especially in everywhere, I have to point out.
Well, I'd like to contradict that. I think Melbourne, we do have a lot of bottoms, but I think in Sydney we have an abundance of tops.
Oh, really?
Really?
Well,
yeah,
really. Half of Melbourne's going to empty out when you say that.
Sorry, Melbourne.
Maybe Sydney.
Sorry, Sydney. Maybe some Sydney people can, some Sydney tops can come down to Melbourne, but that's just my experience.
Now, we also have had an email on air at joy.org.au, not to forget the puppies from Luke. Luke, I have a question. What is the top called in a puppy relationship? I know that the puppy is a puppy. What's the top called in that relationship? I want Luke to email me.
I think it depends on the relationship between the two of them.
Can a puppy be a top, though?
I think so.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Okay. We need an answer to that one.
Yeah, then we have to come back to... But
what about if you have two puppies? You have an alpha dog and a...
Yeah.
You could have an alpha. Oh, it gets very complicated.
But oh, so interesting.
Yeah. But the question I was going to ask just before we go to a break, because I can see Andrew saying, oh, look at the top.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen an increase in the amount of switching that happens during encounters? You know, in that there isn't this, I'm going to go into this encounter, I'm the top, you're the bottom, that's how we're going to be. Or do you think there's more, let's take this fluidly and you can stick it here and then I'll stick it there and then we'll see what happens when we meet at the clubhouse?
I haven't, but I do understand that I tend to polarize my experiences. I'm either very much the top or I'm very much the bottom, and there's not much in between. So that, I think that's a me thing personally. But I think from reading a lot of profiles on, you know, Scruff and Grindr and all those other places as well, I haven't actually noticed very many verse. There are people who are like, oh, top tops or bottoms and things like that. I haven't particularly seen many verse.
And when you, so you're saying you're either very top or very bottom, what flips the switch? Is it the person, the situation, the time of day, the day of the week?
It's the person. It's definitely a physical thing. So someone who's taller and broader and more filled out than I am would definitely...
So we'll get to the physical thing a bit later on.
Yes, you are listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9 with Andrew the Apprentice, Avi Miller, Craig and Andrew. We are talking... what makes a good top? Let us know what you think. SMS 0427 joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek. Shut up, babe, and top me rich. The most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice here with Avi Miller. We're talking about what makes a good top with Andrew and Craig. And guys, we started to talk about the physicality side of things. So let's explore that. Let's get deeper into that.
You said I wasn't allowed to make stupid top bottom puns.
Yes, you're not. He is.
I am. Let's get into that, as I said. So...
as the actress said to the bishop.
Yeah. Is it... So let's talk about... we'll come back to the penis in a minute. But talking about body size and
Relative body size.
Craig, as you said, it shoulders and that sort of stuff. Does it need to be a physically... a physical difference?
No, it can definitely be a mental one. Anyone who's kind of a little meek and shy, I don't think could top me. I would just not work. I just wouldn't see them in that way.
So you need them to be physically different and bigger than you?
I don't need them to be. It's preferable.
Preferable.
But there are people who are about my size, and if they're a bit confident and cocky and the whole, you know, alpha male thing, that definitely works as well.
Andrew, is it the physical presence?
For me, no. Just when you asked the question, I've just thought about a few tops who I've been with who have been... not as tall as me, not as broad as shoulders, and they've done a marvelous job. For me, it's more the mental, the thing, their presence. If they're assertive, if they're kind of, for lack of a better term, in control. And I'm not talking about BDSM and master slave. I'm just talking about in control of the situation.
Because there is this, I love the term that I'm pretty sure I heard. It was either Tom Jaspers or one of the one of the comedians talking about a blouse, which is a feminine top.
Ah, right. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It would probably be lovely. Yeah. Wes on Tuesdays talking about blouses, because I think Wes, in fact, himself identifies as a blouse.
Right.
Who is a feminine top, and I think in this room, that's possibly not our style, but it's an interesting concept that you can have the. Almost that role reversal of a alpha male bottom and a feminine top as a almost a power play.
Yeah.
I've stunned them all into silence.
Don't get me wrong, I'm all for a bit of role reversal, but that's I'm a little bit unfamiliar with that. With blouses.
Yeah.
I think it's great that they're out there, though. Like.
And if you are a blouse, we want to hear from you, 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. How... if you are a blouse and you are scoring hot muscle bottoms, we want to know. I want to hear from people who are tops who aren't picked as tops.
Yes.
You know, because there is that perception. We've now just, I think we've just done Stereotype 101 around the room.
True.
Because we've described almost the Tom of Finland stereotypical top. They're physically imposing or they are mentally imposing.
Yes.
Either way, they're triggering that submissive response, if you like.
Now, just we have had a couple of messages through on 0427JOY949. And also emailing on air at joy.org.au. Luke has replied to our question about what is a top of a puppy called. And a pup can be a top.
A pup? You a can't
pup.
Read.
A pup can be a top.
Yes.
And a top is a sir. Yes. And we've also had information that a top is also called a handler.
Right.
Or the top dog.
Okay.
And also another message in on 0427JOY949 saying tops are abundant in Melbourne, just that tops have a talent.
Tops that have talent.
Talent deficiency.
Right.
Now, we're talking about the physical presence of a top. That may or may not be the case. It depends also on the confidence level. And maybe we'll explore that confidence in a minute as well. But penis size. Does a top have to have a 9-inch dick?
No.
What?
Right, result.
Yeah, result.
Well, that's okay, resolved.
It's assumed that they do, isn't it?
Actually,
it's nice when they do.
Oh yeah.
For me, yeah. I will admire a good dick, but I will say that a top with a big dick who doesn't know how to use it is way more disappointing than a top with a smaller or average-sized dick who really knows how to use it.
Correct. But there's also other things as well. I mean, from experience, people who have a larger penis sometimes have problems keeping it hard. And I found that generally people with a smaller penis stay rock hard all the time, and that's really hot.
And you're saying by small, you're meaning average, I guess.
Average to small. And I would have to say that there have been some people with a smaller penis who have felt better because it's been rock hard than tops who haven't been completely, larger penises who haven't been completely hard.
And I think as well there is the benefit, if one's feeling less than adventurous of an evening. You know, you drop the pants and you see a 9.5 and you go, oh, I'm going to have to climb on that. I wanted the small meal.
I've never, ever had that feeling in my life.
Well, you know, look, we are, Andrew and I do have what makes a good bottom scheduled for later on in this season. But obviously one of the things that makes a good bottom is good preparation. That almost goes without saying. Sometimes a larger than average dick can give me confidence issues about preparation.
Yeah.
Yep. And I can go, I hadn't prepared for that. I prepared for, but I hadn't prepared for, I don't know if that translates well on the radio. there was fishing style gesticulation of hands there.
No, I'm very much the same. Good preparation builds confidence in me. So,
and that's an interesting, what is the preparation that a good top should do?
Not go out and fuck his brains out the night before.
Right.
As in, like, if you're meeting somebody, it's, I think, we'll go with polite, not to go and spend yourself the night before. So, so you're ready. And look, if you do have trouble kind of keeping it up, then, hey, if you're open to Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, something. Or just a cock ring.
Yeah.
That's right. And also maybe, a top can tell their partner, the bottom, what turns them on, working the nipples, bit of verbal, you know. Tops, not every top can stay hard for 9 hours.
Yeah.
So knowing what does it for you, or what does it for the top, if the bottom knows that, then that they can play that to their advantage.
Although also on the flip side of saying, like, don't spend yourself the night before, if you do know that if you're a top and you do tend to, you know, come a bit quickly, then, you know, maybe have a wank beforehand just to...
Knock one off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that just you last a bit longer.
A little bit longer.
Just on that, what would you two say would be average time? Craig?
Average. Actually, it'd be probably between...
I suppose penetration,
Penetrative sex portion of the sexual encounter.
Probably between 5 to 10 minutes would be the average. I wouldn't say it's my preference, but it's the average.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go about the same.
Are you boys preferring a longer 30, 40-minute stretch, or are you a jackhammer 30-second stretch, kind of where your preferences lie?
Yeah, I kind of prefer to break it up a bit, change positions, you know, restore electrolytes, have a Gatorade. You know, particularly if you're going for a longer session, rehydrating is key.
Yes. Rehydrating and then potentially pissing that onto your partner if you're into that.
Indeed.
Sort of thing. The nice thing about rehydration is it's recyclable.
Of course, always.
And we do promote recycling. We're very politically correct here. Craig?
I do like it short and fast, but I do also like short and fast and then changing positions. So, you know.
While it's happening? Are you a gymnast? Can you do the
roll over?
Yes, actually I can.
Actually, touching on a good subject, for a bottom, if you're going to be in a variety of positions, stretching. You're just good preparation.
And a top has to stretch too, don't
he does.
They?
Mm. Yep.
That's sometimes forgotten.
If you're going for a variety of positions and going for a bit of a session, limbering up can't hurt.
Yeah, maybe skip gym that day.
Maybe skip gym.
And or not doing the legs.
Yes.
You know, perhaps not doing the jackhammer event on the same day as the legs at the gym.
Just change it to the ab day.
There you go.
You're on Heart and Seek on Joy 94.9. Let us know what makes a good top. 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. This is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
Like, I learned more things from Hide and Seek, for God's sakes. School didn't provide it.
Not something that I listen to on a regular basis.
You certainly want something a bit more reliable and than what you get in the schoolyard. Whether Hide and Seek is the first place you should start. My sex education involved the breeding of mice, then talking about what they had done.
Oh, wonderful.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice and Avi Miller are here.
With a couple of hot bottoms, Andrew.
With a couple of hot bottoms here. Craig and Andrew are joining us. And we're talking about what makes a good top, a bottom's perspective. Alpha males, we talked about. What is an alpha male?
Wow.
assertive. Confident.
Cocky.
Cocky, somewhat dominant, yeah.
And can that translate into passion at the same time?
I think so. I like a sort of dominant, passionate top. So, yeah, definitely.
And I think the sensitivity is not antithetical to a dominant top. You need to be sensitive. You need to be able to read a partner. Those people who are disconnected are usually not terribly effective longer term.
So we're saying effectively that aggression is a measured aggression, and an aggression that is considered.
Yeah, you definitely. It really depends on what you're after. Like, there are dominant tops that are BDSM tops that don't give a rat's ass how the bottom is feeling, and it's all about them and the.
But is that necessarily true? I mean, only because in my travels, I met a remarkable man interstate who's regarded as one of the top BDSM masters of that particular location. And I was blown away because I thought he was a massive bottom. Which goes back to perception. But from his point of view, a really good, really aggressive, really sadistic top is in it for the bottom.
Yes, because they need the bottom to really purvey the role, right? I mean, it's
they need the feedback.
Yeah, it's symbiotic and stuff like that.
It depends. If you, I agree with you, but if you're role playing, is a different thing. Like, if depends what headspace you're in.
I suppose one of the keys there, though, is that connectedness and a communication, whether that's verbal or not. I mean, you know, there are a lot of unspoken communication that happens or should happen. We had a message in on air at joy.org.au from Wesley, who says one of the things that makes a good top is consistency. Drives him mad when you're just about there and they change the pace or move their body. A top that knows when a bottom is on the home stretch and can just be patient and ride it out.
Wesley raises a very interesting question in tops and bottoms. Who comes first?
Ooh, very good question. We'll come to that in a moment. We've also had a message through from Nurse James saying a good top should be hard, enthusiastic. That's a good word. But not rough. As he climaxes noisily, verbally, depending on the setting, but also definite when his climax happens.
The only thing that I might disagree with Nurse James, and I like a bit of rough. A bit of rough, yeah.
Enthusiastic, but not rough. But rough is probably what Andrew was just saying. You can have a top that's just going bang, bang, and bang, bang, bang with no consideration of the bottom.
Yeah.
And without paying attention if there's not sufficient lube happening or anything like that. And Wesley's also having another go at penis size this time. If you force it in at the beginning, then the whole event will be uncomfortable for the bottom. Ease it in, and then you can go nuts.
Or go to the nuts.
Go to the nuts. Oh, as the matron now, said to the bishop.
Back to Wesley's first comment, though. And Andrew, you raised the point. Who comes first?
I think it depends on the people. Some tops want the bottom to come because some of them get off on pleasing another person, and they don't really get that idea until the bottom comes. And others, it's the top will finish when the top finishes. Yeah,
there's also the physical aspect when a bottom comes and the top is inside the bottom. When that happens, there's a physiological spasmodic event that occurs that can be quite fun for a top.
Yes, and yes.
And if the bottom develops or works on their muscles down there, definitely.
And also it could be that particularly the top may be somebody who gets off on seeing cum.
True.
Though there are some bottoms who, after they come, don't want anything to do with sex a good 10-15 minutes. So after you come, that's it. I'm off. I'm out of here. Finish yourself off. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to have a little lie down. Thank you very much. I suppose it's possibly a discussion for what makes a good bottom, but somebody who can come and carry on going, both top and bottom, is probably quite well regarded.
That's a very interesting point. That's something that I've tried to work on because if you like, I've come without kind of touching myself, whilst playing with the top.
You saying demure now?
Well, I'm trying to be diplomatic. So
don't worry about it.
And so, it's just happened, and it's one of the most amazing feelings is climaxing when you're just enjoying the sensation of being a bottom. But then again, I'm one of those people who, once it's over for me. So I'm going to need a good 15-20 minutes to get back into it, so to speak.
Craig, What for you? Do you recall your most mind blowing? God, I'm tired now. Mind blowing orgasm. And what did the top do at that time that made it different?
It was probably it was with a boyfriend I had. And it was more of an emotional connection. I had a non-ejaculatory orgasm.
Yes. Throwing out those technical terms. You can tell you're a PhD student.
Sometimes I call them Neos.
Neo?
Because I'm a little bit geeky. he wasn't doing anything special, actually, but my arms go dead. Like, they get all tingly. My legs cramp.
I can sympathize with the leg cramp thing.
Yeah.
My hips give out. Inevitably, as soon as I've come, my hips go, all right, we've had enough now. Thank you.
There's something to remedy that. If you do lunges, it's really good for the hips after. Yeah.
Yes, but you haven't been paralyzed for 3 months with degenerative nerve disorders, which is also a concern.
Not yet.
Not yet. No, I don't recommend it.
Okay.
Unless you're really, really into medical fetishes.
Not.
Anyway, yes. That's another program.
It's a totally different program.
How about we go to a track and we'll come back and we'll continue this little discussion. It's been a fun little discussion.
It has. Yes. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy. No, I'm going to save this one.
Okay.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9 with Avi, Andrew the Apprentice, Craig and Andrew. It's Wall to Wall Bottoms.
Joy. 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 Joy.
Hide and seek.
So sexy it hurts.
Andrew the Apprentice and Avi Miller are with you on your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
Somebody needs an energy drink.
Tonight we're doing that with, we're talking about what makes a good top with Andrew and Craig. We talked about length, I guess, and I suppose one question about that is, for the top, should the prostate be the goal?
I think it should definitely be a destination.
Yes. Yes. It should be visited and maybe revisited.
Numerous times?
Numerous times.
Within a minute.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the list of places to visit.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is one of the interesting things I've found. Guys who have curved dicks, who kind of get self-conscious about the fact that they have a curved dick, really shouldn't be, because those things can hit places that no one else can.
And they can also pee around corners, which is amazing.
but the top needs, if the top does have a curvature, they need to know which position works, because you can curve the wrong way.
Definitely. It's all, that's again for me where the top should kind of, like communicate with their bottom or what they like.
The other thing that I like about it is that it also adds a bit of width to it.
Ah, right. And we hadn't got to girth at all. Andrew, you had an opinion on girth.
I'm a big fan of girth. Length is great, but girth is very underrated in my opinion. I'm a big fan of girth.
Seconded.
Yeah, no. Now, what are your boys' feelings on the introduction of toys and other items into... Is it a common thing? Is it a sometimes event?
I haven't had
a sometimes treat.
I haven't had many experiences, but I think it's a good idea.
Oh, I'm a big fan of toys. Okay. In fact, it's really hard for me to go into a shop like Manhouse and not come out with a toy of some description,
paperweight of some size.
Oh, they come in wonderful weird
now,
check sizes.
Actually, no, these guys first. Craig, does a toy? In porno, you often see that the standard scenario is that the bottom will suck off the top for a while and then until he's hard and then get the top to come inside him.
I don't see a lot of
insert.
Coming inside.
To insert.
Oh, it's Darian. I was going to say, in porn, not a lot of coming inside.
Does a good top also give head?
Yeah, I think they can. And the rimming as well. I think generally a good top will rim.
Does a good top rim before they give head?
Generally, a good top will rim before they insert. So add a little bit of lubrication.
Okay.
Andrew?
Yeah, I agree with Craig.
So a good top should focus on the rimming?
Definitely.
Rather than necessarily being able to... Deep throat.
Well, yeah, it kind of gets the bottom in the mood then, doesn't it? Kind of, working on the area.
Now,
we've had a miss. I'm going to read this one because you're gone here. We are reaching out to an international audience tonight. Tom from Germany is listening in. He's at home visiting his family. Hello, Tom. Tom used to be a bottom for a long time. He's topping at the moment. But as a bottom, he couldn't stand a top who can fuck for ages, pound away when every position is painful because one of my legs had fallen asleep or my head bangs against the bed. I think the fuck is good when it's short, rough, a bit of dirty talk, and cum.
Maybe not short, but to the point, I think.
Adequate sufficiency.
Yeah, I definitely do not like being there for hours and hours trying to get them off. I think there's a point where I'm going, this is enough, and you'll need to sort yourself out.
Yeah, I think it's very much situational. If I'm in the right sexual furniture where it's comfortable to be there for an extended period of time. The biggest problem I have as a bottom is inevitably it's on a bed or on the dining room table or, you know, on the hood of a car. And these things are great and I promote them, but they're not great for long periods of time. There's inevitably the aerial that gets stuck in your bum. However, if you're in a sling or if you're on one of those padded benches or if you're in a situation that's more conducive to long-term play, then, you know, 45 minutes, an hour can go by and I'm fine.
Yeah, I think position and yeah, equipment is a very big part of it. But I agree, it's all part of, you know, what's kind of, you know, what, when I say what you agree on. But yeah, sorry, what was his name from Germany?
Tom from Germany.
Yes. Tom, I kind of agree that if a top's going to bang away for hours, like a jackhammer, technique is important because, you know, jackhammering's great, but not for an hour.
Now, we've had, as we said, we had Tom from Germany message. Now we've got David from Hobart. We are reaching around the world here.
Yes.
So David from Hobart's message in.
The best orgasm is for a top and bottom to orgasm together. Generally, the bottom triggers the top's orgasm. Love, and he loves the music.
Oh, thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Look, simultaneous orgasm is wonderful, but if I was going to rate sex on the amount of times that I've managed to achieve simultaneous orgasm, I don't know about you boys, but that's a...
I'd have to say the top coming actually pushes me over most of the time.
Does yes. for me, yeah.
But then it also goes the other way as well. I think for the top, often it's the bottom coming that then causes the top to come.
Well, yeah, like we were saying before, with the tightening, the clenching down there, definitely that does it for a lot of tops.
I think it's also situation. It goes back to situation. What makes a good top? The situation. And not the one from that reality
Jersey
show. I'll take his abs, but nothing else.
Face down in a pillow.
Yes.
The interesting thing is that the idea of coming together for me is nice when I'm with a boyfriend or a long-term emotional connected fuck buddy or something where that makes sense. If this is an anonymous... on premises, at event, kind of, I don't give a shit if you come or not.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of interesting that the selfishness of various locations becomes quite interesting from a point of view of orgasm.
Can I turn around the other way, though? You said you don't, if you're, you know, on a site, on a premise, on a venue, you don't give a shit if the top comes, but could I say you really give a shit if the top comes and you still want to play? Because for him, if it's over after he comes...
Not necessarily, because I'm at a... Because I'm at an event or a sex on premises venue, I'll go and find another one.
Take
do you know
it
what down. I mean?
Yeah. the night is full, or morning is full of opportunity.
Yeah, I'll fly to Sydney, apparently, and find somebody there. But I think that is... There is that moment where you, I suppose, selfishly sport for choice. And that goes both ways. You know, a good top in Melbourne certainly is spoiled for choice when it comes to bottoms. They have their pick. So it works both ways. But at events, at parties, at premises, you get to be way more selfish, expect.
Yeah, well... I've often described kind of our scene in Melbourne here and overseas for gay men with saunas, cruise clubs, beats, dance parties, sex on premises venues. Sex can be on tap if you really want it.
And mobile apps.
It's
all over the shop.
How do you guys find the mobile apps for hooking? Do you use the mobile apps for hooking up?
I loosely try. I'm open to the idea of hooking up through one of those apps, but I understand and have had many experiences where it just doesn't happen.
I like the idea, but I'm not a big user of the apps.
I just find them too much work.
They are, and that's why when I say loosely, like I'm open to the idea if someone will actually come round, then that's great, but I generally find that people go on, they're really horny, and then they wank, and then they come, and then they're not horny anymore, and they just stop talking.
Yeah, and the inane small talk that you have to go through to find out that you're not actually bothered.
Yeah.
Well, boys, I don't know if we made I don't know if we've come to a full conclusion.
I think, if I may summarise for the yes. class, connectedness.
Connectedness, yes.
Possibly either mental or physical, for the want of the word, dominance.
Yes.
But an imposing either mental or physical form.
Mm-hmm.
Technique.
Technique. Yeah.
Size doesn't necessarily matter. So if you are feeling that you might... And we've had a bullshit vote from outside of this team.
I will go as far as saying I prefer technique over size.
Yep.
And technique with size is the double whammy.
Thank you so much, Andrew and Craig, for enlightening us on what makes a good top.
And thank you for being so
honest and
I'm going to do it. Thank you for being so open.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We'll be back right after this.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.